Cheltenham Festival is here and we have a very special edition of the Racing Postcast for you, proudly sponsored by Unibet, and we have got five best bets from our panel. We're just going to try and hunt out the winners across four brilliant days of horse racing, a special show and a special panel to hopefully find those winners. Joining me alongside, if you're watching along, in the top right is Racing Post tipster Robbie Wilders, our handicapper in the bottom left, Johnny Pearson, and Unibet's Ed Nicholson, who has been in flying form all season long. We had two winning naps on the show last year. Can we continue the theme of lots more winners at this year's Cheltenham Festival? Very best of luck with all your selections and such, and we've got a bit more to help you find the winners with introducing The Edge.
You're up early, checking going reports, scanning trainer form, hunting for market movers, watching all the replays. What if it was already done? The Edge delivers everything serious punters need every morning at 8 a.m. either straight into your inbox or on racingpost.com. Going stick analysis that takes the guesswork out of going descriptions. Percentile scores showing which trainers and jockeys are genuinely hot and which are not. Overnight market moves. Eye catchers from our analysts who also open up their horse trackers just for readers. All the insight with none of the legwork. Because if you're going to bet seriously, you need a serious edge.
Okay, so the show works very simply. We are going to count down from our fifth best bet to our nap of the Cheltenham Festival. Each panelist is going to go from 1 to 5 to 1. Starting, Robbie, with you. Your fifth best bet of the Cheltenham Festival is...
Thank you very much, James. I'm going to go to Cabral de Matan in the Stairs Hurdle 320 on Thursday. Looking to take on the old boys at the top of the market here. I mean, Tia Poo gets beaten in this race quite a lot, considering how good he is. He's 9 now. Bob Ollinger's 11, sure. I mean, he does like Cheltenham, but I just think Cabral de Matan just looks a bit different to me. He needs to prove he stayed 3 miles, but I think he'll be absolutely fine. He settles pretty well. I think he just might have too much quality. He's a hurdler on a rapid upward curve, and I don't really rate those at the top of the market as highly as the market suggests.
Yeah, Dan Skelton's been talking up this horse's chances. A 6-year-old, not many 6-year-olds but win this, but a really classy horse. That is Cabral de Matan for the Stayers, number 5 for Robbie. Ed, great to have you back on. What's your number 5, please?
Yeah, another Skelton horse. I'm going for Sinatra. Got the all-important fifth hurdle running at Warwick. Settled a bit better and jumped a bit better that day as well. He's improving with experience. 3 wins from 7 now. And James, I'll state my case, of which I'm certain Sinatra is better than a 1-3-3 horse. That's what he is at the moment. The Skeltons have won this 4 times. 3 of them have won the county in marks of 130. So I think Sinatra might be an interesting horse this time around.
Yeah, well, I have to say, Ed, it's a special edition of a postcast, but you don't let us down with a musical pun, do you? Sinatra in the county hurdle on Friday. Plenty of time between now and then, but hopefully that could be a good price with Unibet on the day. Johnny Pearson joining us alongside. What's your number 5, please?
Yeah, I'm going to go against Robbie in the Stayers Hurdle, and it's going to be Tia Poo for me. Beaten in the race twice before, but he has won it as well. He's finished 2nd last time. For my money, he's still the best horse in the race over the trip. And provided, you know, you'd be disappointed to see him beaten, wouldn't be overly surprised. But I think 9-4 about one of the most solid horses of the entire week is not a bad bet to be having, and he should probably win it.
That's such a boring selection, mate.
It is, but it's 5th bet, not the 1st one, isn't it?
He won't win.
Oh, we've already disagreed with each other. This is what Cheltenham's all about. It's not about coming together. It's going against each other. Right, let's leave that comment there on the stairs, because who knows, that might feature in some of the others. We'll wait and see. Let's move on to number 4. Actually, no, I've got not done mine, have I? I'm going to go Meet Me by the Sea in the Jack Richards at 5-1. Now, this is a horse who's been in my tracker for quite a long time. I didn't really look at this race for too long. I thought, well, Regent Stroll's got it certain, but this horse looks very, very well handicapped. I think he'll be 150-plus horse by this time next year. 5-1, too good for me to avoid. Meet Me by This in the Jack Richards on Thursday. Let's go number 4. Ed, you can take us away.
Yeah, it could be a very big festival for Ben Jones and Ben Pauling. My number 4 is Pick Rock, one of the lesser horses for this week, I would say, from that stable. But Pick Rock is running in the National Hunt Chase, now over 3 miles, 5 furlongs and 210 yards. And I think this is exactly what this horse wants. Softer the ground, the better as well. There is a lot of rain forecast in the early part and certainly the latter part of the week at Cheltenham. Won well over 3 miles in soft ground at Sandown last time out, stating his case for a step up in trip. Was 1-3-4, is now 1-4-1. I think that's a workable mark, and I expect Pit Rock to go well despite his 14-1 odds.
Yeah, well, we always want one at a price, Ed. Pit Rock, he's due a bit of luck after his pretty disastrous start. Well, no fault of his own at Newbury in the big one there, the Coral Gold Cup. That's Ed's number four. Robbie, what's yours? And don't make it boring.
Oh, it won't be. This horse ties in with Cabral de Matan. It's Jinko Blue in the Cup, 2:40 on Wednesday. Cabral de Matan beat him quite readily in the rail kill on New Year's Day, but I thought it was a pretty good effort. He was on bad terms considering his handicap mark. He was ahead of Lucky Place, who was a good horse for Henderson last year as his stairs hurdle horse. Just looks like he's coming nicely to the boil, really. I like a horse who stays 3 miles in this race. It's always fiercely run. He was really promising novice chaser last season. You know, he went off odds on for a grade two before the wheels came off. But he sort of worked his way back to form over hurdles this season, I feel. And I think he's sitting on a career best in this sphere. So Jinko Blue for Nicky Henderson.
Yeah, big prize, but certainly has the talent and maybe lesser known considering what comes at the end of a week with that. With that team and their ownership with a big Gold Cup hope as well. I'll go number four next. And I have to say, Robbie, there's a bit of a boring thing with mine, so I'm willing to take criticism. But I think the favourite here, Favra de Chamdu, does not lose the cross country. He's just so far above these. 5-2. I look at the prices and think this all should be odds on. I mean, I think sometimes at Cheltenham we get a little bit caught up with what happened last year, and actually you need to look at the here and now. This horse is miles the best and will win the cross country. Johnny?
But my fourth selection, my fourth best bets is going to come on Tuesday, and it's in the Fred Winter, which is the McCoy Contractors Juvenile Handicap Hurdle. And it's going to be a horse who I thought at one point might be a triumph horse. Alas, not the case. And it's Barbizon for Gordon Elliott. Jack Kennedy's on the Faye Bramley horse, which you might be a bit put off by. But we've got a £5 claimer on. Everyone's happy. He's a really good horse. His flat horse, probably the best in the race. People say that about Saratoga, but I think Barbizon better on the flat. If he puts it all together, I think it could be a really big price to win him.
Yeah, 18-1, Johnny. Unfortunately, I don't think you're going to get a winner, but that's the whole point of Cheltenham, isn't it? 18-1 selection could well be overlooked, though. As Johnny says, some really classy flat form. On to number three, our third best bet at the Cheltenham Festival. And I'm going to kick us off with a controversial one. And it's been a horse that a lot of people are talking about, but it's Mashburn and the Queen Mother Champion Chase on Wednesday. Now, everyone's saying this horse can't win, this horse can't do that. And I just think if you're looking for a horse who is an absolute Stonewall banker, which you always want on the top five, I just can't look past this horse. He is miles better than these. He would have won the Arkle by a country mile if he hadn't jumped as well. I'll give him a whole year to improve his jumping. There's still some signs it's getting better. He's coming good now. Some talk that he potentially left his race at Leopardstown. I think he is cut above these. And I think the 4-6 will look silly on the day. I just think he's miles clear than the rest. As boring as that gets, Robbie, you can criticise me right now.
Oh, God, I'd love to. I'm going to have to disagree with you, James. A lot of odds on favourites get beaten in that race. I think it's like 8 out of the last 9 or something silly. It's just one jump you get wrong and you lose 4 lengths, you're out of the race, bosh. For me, in the third bet, I'm going to go for Manila Study in the Triumph Hurdle. Just think he's being underestimated because he's trained by Adam Nicol, but his hurdles four mines are reading really well. He's got a taste of the course. He won really impressively at the December meeting, beating Winston Jr., giving him £7. Winston Jr. is very well fancied for the Fred Winter on the opening day. The time of that race was excellent. He's actually got a top-class pedigree as well. You wouldn't necessarily expect it, but he's got a proper Nearchus family pedigree, and I'm not seeing a standout, and I just think he's being overlooked.
Yep, I couldn't agree more. 7-1 with Unibet for the Triumph Hurdle on Friday. Ed, number three.
Yeah, I think I've got one here. I think it's going to be well supported. And I'll tell you why. The selection is Stencil in the Jack Richards, which is a very competitive race, but it is a handicap. And Stencil will be right at the bottom of the handicap, rated 1.39. If you remember, this horse was 11-4 favourite for the juvenile handicap last year at the festival. He is relatively lightly raced. He's only had 8 runs. And he had his all-important third run, which gets him into this race over fences at Chepstow. Now, that was a race that he should have won on ratings. He was getting £10 from Juby Ball. But for me, it was the way he ran that made it interesting, because he is a horse that has made mistakes. He is a horse that's pulled. He did neither of those things at Chepstow. I think it would have been a really good confidence booster. And the final thing is, I think the ground's going to get softer as the week goes by. This horse has got form in heavy, soft, and good to soft. It's a lightly race. JP McManus owned horse. Been a bit of money already for him. I think this could be a bit of a steamer. 12-1, third best bet of the week for me.
Stencil in the Jack Richards on Thursday. Finally, last but not least, Johnny, what's your number three?
Yeah, we're going to go for the first race of the meeting, the Supreme Odds Hurdle, and we're going to go for Mighty Park. He's only had the one run over hurdles, which, you know, is a big, I'd say a big negative. But the horse at Fairy House, okay, won 38 lengths, largely unchallenged. It was by far the best hurdle time on the card that day. Okay, there's only one over 2 miles, but relative to the 2.5 mile races, it was far better. He could have won. We're estimating how much further he probably could have won by, but I'd say at least another 10 lengths. Old Park Stars look very good, and he's the right favourite. But I think Mighty Park's probably potentially the best horse in there, and I'm willing to take a chance on him. You know, if he'd had two more runs, maybe he'd be odds on for the race. I'm willing to factor that into my thought process here and take sort of, what is he, 3-1 about him for it.
Yeah, Johnny, obviously, for those of our listeners and our viewers who don't watch the podcast regularly, Johnny, you are one of our handicappers. You look at the ratings, you assess it. Now, this Mighty Park's been compared to Forheen. In terms of what you've seen and using how you look at races and judge performances, would that description match what you've seen as what Willie Mullins is potentially calling Forheen like?
I mean, Forheen was sort of at the start of the time, really. So it's hard to compare the two of them together. But if you go back to sort of your Ounty or your Constitution Hills, you see a horse win first, second time, and you know they're a seriously good horse. I mean, there was a lot of talk when Ounty were running that from the Mullins camp that Min was going to be the next big thing. And maybe it could be the same with Mighty Park and Old Park Star. And actually, Old Park Star, that's the better horse. But I was so impressed. I think he could just be that good at 3-1. I'm willing to take a chance here.
Yeah, fascinating insight there, Johnny. And my word, what an absolute breathtaking race we're going to start the Cheltenham Festival with. Let's go on to our number two, our penultimate best bet of the meeting. And we're going to start with you this time. Johnny, I don't think we've kicked off with you yet. So number two, please.
Yeah, we're going to hope for Henry de Bromhead to have a good week. It's not been the best season for him in numbers. He's had a few barren patches, so to speak. But there's a lot of his horses, I think, have got really good chances. And it's not been missed, annoyingly. But Waterford Whispers in the Kim Muir, the last race on Thursday, I think looks to have a terrific chance. I was watching a back race from the DRF back last time, and he's third behind Backers Back Me. And he was seriously eye-catching. You sort of couldn't notice how well he finished relative to the rest of the field there. I think going up in trip is sure to suit him here. And he looks to have a great chance. Unfortunately, he has been backed a little bit more than I would have liked. And he's sort of 4-1 for the race. But I still think he's going to have a good jockey on his JP. The race would have been lined up for some time. Let's have a go at him.
Yep, can't fault you there. Waterford Whispers in the Kim Muir. Robbie, number two.
Cheers. Yeah, I'm interested in Cab Gothi in the Brown Advisory. I'm sure Mr. Pearson is also interested because he comes out best on RPRs, actually. He won at the Dublin Racing Festival. I thought really impressively. He's been kind of forgotten about for some reason for me. He was much better than Final Demand that day. Yeah, Final Demand is a lot shorter price here. I don't really get it myself. All I'm seeing a horse that jumps really well. He's won that in good style and shaping as if he'd get 3 miles again as well. Admittedly, he bombed out in the Turners last year this track, but just think he was always going to be like a horse of fences anyway. Just looks like, to me, I can't really understand why he's that sort of price. That DRF form to be undervalued for me.
Okay. Ed, I mean, a bit of a surprise so far in your first few selections. You'd have think, being our Unibet man, we'd potentially have one for our Unibet ambassador, Nicky Henson, and potentially something on Unibet Champion Hurdle Day. Surely you've got something up your sleeve for us.
I have. You're right on every front apart from the race. It's the Arkle, it's Lulumba, and the shortest one of my five, around about 13 to 8 at the moment. This is a race that Mullins and Henderson farm, 11 of the last 13. Nicky's won this 8 times, a record. And Mullins and Henderson have the top two in the market. Massive odds on that one of them win. I think Lalonde will win and go the same way as Django Bay. This will be the last time you see this horse running over 2 miles. He's already won 3 2-miles, one grade one. But I think after this race, you'll never see him over 2 miles again. I think he's a future King George winner, but I think he's a future Arkle winner, and I think he'll win on Tuesday. It's a fascinating race because the Kopec Day board will obviously make it a test and will speed along. Quite a few judges have suggested that he wouldn't be out of place in the Unibet Champion Hurdle. And Alombo came second in the Triumph last year, has got speed, but probably not much speed as Kopec Day board. So it's a fascinating contest. Obviously, other runners as well. But I just expect Alombo to win his fourth run. I love that Gain Spirit run, a race that Nicky's gone to with 4 other horses, 2 of which were novices and one. And I just think he would have learnt a hell of a lot in that race. And although it was one race, it was like 2 races in one. And that will bring him on a hell of a lot. And Kopec Des Bois only had one run over fences. That might be his undoing. So Lalombe's my fourth best at around about 13 to 8.
Yeah, absolute fascinating race, the Arkle, isn't it? And what these horses go on and do. And I tell you what, Ed, it almost happened for the Arkle winner in the King George this season. So who knows what the future may hold. I'm going to go next, number 2 for me. Now, this one is one that's been very much inspired by the pre-Cheltenham stable visits. You'll see a lot of previews. You'll see all sorts of stable tours. And I've learned in about 10 years doing this is what they don't say, which is what you get. Now, I was interested in Madara in the plate. Dan Skelton gave absolutely very little away about this horse. This horse has clearly been lined up for the race. You only need to look at this form and look at the stable and look at all involved to know that they really want to do this. The plate is absolutely awful. It's a very sort of moderate handicap now because of different horses going to different places, including Jaguar going up in trip. I think Madara's just ended up by default an absolute cut above these and by miles the best. And Dan Skelton did not want to give anything away in his media day about Madara. I think this has been the plan for a while. I think he's still got plenty of scope from his mark. And Madara for me in the plate at 7-2. Let's move on to our best bet of the Cheltenham Festival. Before we do, quick word from our sponsors.
Want betting on the horses to be anything but flat? With an app that impresses every time out, you're on. Want to watch live streaming of races in the UK, Ireland and around the globe? And get a chance to win even bigger with 3 UniBoosts every day on any horses you want. UniBet, you're on.
Okay, it's that time of the show. It's that time of a postcast. Our very best bet for the Cheltenham Festival, the one we've all been waiting for. Robbie Wilders, kick us off. The Wilders Knapp at Cheltenham is...
Thank you very much, James. The Wilders Knapp is heir of entitlement in the 5.20, the last race at Cheltenham Friday in the Martin Pipe. Agree with what JP said about Henry de Bromhead having a potentially good week. I can see that angle. His horse has often come alive at this meeting. Heir of entitlement, to me, just gives the impression she's been laid out for this. He mentioned it as a target. I like it when they kind of just narrow the one race down, saying it didn't say anything about the cup or anything. It's like, this is the target. She obviously won the Mayor's Novices at this meeting last year, staying on really strongly over 2 mile ones, beat 6.5. Going to improve again for this longer trip. She's been running ever since on basically soft or heavy ground. And her one other run on the sand surface was when the Bromhead's horses were just, you know, badly running very badly. I think she could still make up into a top-notch mare. She's run off 139. For a second run in a handicap. I think there's a lot in air of entitlement's favour in the Martin Pipe.
Waiting till the very end. Winner, of course, last year. Air of entitlement is Robbie Wilders Knapp's. Johnny Pearson, what's yours?
Yeah, we're going to go for, and the more I think about it, the more stupid it is to Knapp in this race. Given the brown advisory looks, I could probably make a case for 5 or 6 of them. But Cocktail Divan's been on my mind ever since he won at Leopardstown at Christmas. I mentioned him on the postcast after that. He's not run since. He's been aimed at the festival. He's been given a nice mark. So there is still a chance he goes for the Jack Richards handicap. But I think if he goes to the Brown Advisor, I still think he's got one of the best chances in the race. Yes, Kay Dothy got a higher mark when he won at the DRF. Romeo Cuido beat him at the start of the season. If Final Demands obviously look very good. Kitzbühel's going under the radar a bit, along with Oscar's Brother. I mean, there's loads of them you can make a case for. But I've been most impressed by Cocktail Divan, and I think he's got enough to show his class at this level and win the race.
Thank you very much, Johnny Cocktail Divan in the Brown Advisory on Wednesday. Ed, your best bet is?
Van der Poel in the Johnny Henderson Grand Annual on the Wednesday. I think it's very difficult to give tips this far out, especially with the ground, because...
No excuses, Ed. No excuses.
Well, this is why there's not excuses this race, because I've gone for a horse that's won on soft ground and good ground and yielding ground. There won't be any other ground differences. It'll be one of the three. But there is weather. There's weather units out there saying it's going to be kind of softish to heavy by the end of the week. But others are saying it'll be good to soft. So I've gone for a nat, which I think will run well, whatever the ground. That's why it's my nat. And he is double figure odds, or he was 10-1. I've just noticed now he's 15-2. He's coming in for support. So maybe there are a few people that think the same as me. Van der Poel is trained by that man again, Ben Paulding, ridden by that man again, Ben Jones. And a little bit like Pick Rock, he won at Sandown off 134 and is now running off 141. Exactly the same conditions as a horse I've previously given in this podcast. But I like the way he did it at Sandown. He won a race that we sponsored. I actually spoke to his owner, Lady Dolverton, after that race. And she said this was the race. This is the target. This has been a target all along. Has found his form over fences, which is why he's got the kind of rating he's got. I think he's much better than a 141 horse. The form that he had with Stencil, who's another horse I've tipped up, looks good at Ascot. And I just think he's getting the hang of things. He's 4 wins from just 7 races. I love lightly raced novice chasers or second season chasers in this race. And Van der Poel really fits the bill. I'll be very disappointed if he's out the first 3 or 4. I'll be probably almost as equally disappointed if he doesn't win.
I couldn't agree more with everything you've just said. An improving novice and definitely got a chance in the Grand Annual. Brave man tips Napsa in the Grand Annual, Ed. So good on you. Right, let's have a quick spin through. Before we do, I shall mention my nap. Now, I said it's brave having won the Grand Annual. I'm going to go for the Fred Wint or the McCoy Juvenile Contractors Juvenile Hurdle on Tuesday. Now, Robbie, I was listening on to everything you said about Manella Study and about how good a performance that was, and I couldn't agree more with you. And I hope that the odds of Manella Study are going to be very short because Winston Jr. goes and wins on Tuesday. This horse has clearly been laid out for this race, was an absolutely very eye-catching and promising second behind Manella Study, who I think is a serious animal. Went to Ascot, won like a potential graded juvenile horse, but I think they've looked at it and gone, well, you know what, we're going to get a good mark. Let's go for this. This has been the plan all along. You can imagine that Faye Bramley and the team are all around. Connections have been trying to get this horse right for this day. It's been a big plan from a long time out. I think it's going to come off. I think this horse has got loads of potential. He's on a good handicap mark. Proven form at Cheltenham. Everything is there in favour. 6-1. I want to take on Saratoga. Nice, flashy, flat form. It's great. But Cheltenham and jumping is a different game altogether. So Winston Jr. for me. We're going to spin through our 5 now just to recap. And I'll go first as I've just been. So it's Meet Me by the Sea in the Jack Richards. It's my 5th best bet at Cheltenham. Feel that this horse has loads of promise and could well be 150 rated horse in the future. Favoir de Champeau in the cross country. This horse should simply be too good. Mashborough, Queen Mother, ignore all the talk about this horse's jumping. He's the best horse in the division and I think he'll win. Madara in the plate. This has been the plan for some time. It's not a good race. He should be too good. And Winston Jr. in the McCoy Contractors Juvenile Hurdle, otherwise known as the Fred Winter. Just feel this is a plan that's all going to come together for Faye Bramley. That's my 5. Ed, recap us yours.
Yeah, 5. In at number 5 is Sinatra. Think he's got a huge potential ahead of him as a chaser, but he might just be well handicapped enough and got the experience to win a county hurdle, a race his trainers won 4 times previously. Number 4 is Pit Rock, who's going up in distance, looks like a stayer, looks like an improving young stayer, and comes from the Ben Paulding stable, who I think are going to have a really good festival. Number 3 is Stencil. He's already run well at the festival, been favourite for a race last year. I think he's got a lot ahead of him. He's a horse that does like softer conditions. He might just get it. And I think Stenson will come on a lot for the experience of his last win at Chepstow. Number two, well, I've got to put a Nicky Henderson horse in, and it's going to be Lalumba, who is one of my favourites at Seven Barriers. I think he's a star of the future. I think he'll win the Arkle. Don't expect him to lead. He won't be anywhere near the lead until probably jumping the second last or last even. But I think he'll gallop on up the hill and really show himself to be a horse full of potential for next year. And finally, Van der Poel, who, whatever the conditions, will run a good race. He's won on good, he's won on yielding, he's won on soft. He's a horse for all seasons. And I think Van der Poel is another well-handicapped Ben Pauling horse in a handicap.
Thank you very much, Edwin. Flying form all season on the postcards. Let's hope it continues at Cheltenham. Robbie Wilder's our anti-postman. But you're going to give us our selections just a few days out. What's the top five, please?
Yes, James. Number five, Cabral de Matan in the Stayers Hurdle. I'm looking for fresh blood in that division, and I think he ticks an awful lot of boxes. Number four, Jinko Blue in the Cup on Wednesday. His form ties in with Cabral de Matan from the meeting in the Rail Kill. Going to stay well. I like a strong stayer in the strongly run intermediate race handicaps. And I think he's on a sit on a good performance. Manila Study is the third in the Triumph Hurdle on Friday. I think his form is being undervalued because of his connections. He's done it at the track, winning really impressively. There's a lot to like there. Number two, Cad Dofi. I can't really understand why he's such a big price compared to Final Demand in the Brown Advisory. He won very well at the DRF, and I think he's going to improve again for 3 miles. And the nap is Heir of Entitlement, already won at the festival last year in the Mayor's Novices Hurdle. Looks like it's been laid out for the Martin Pipe to me off a good mark of 139. Henry de Bromhead should be in for a good week, and this looks a cracking chance for him to add another Cheltenham success to his name.
And Johnny, finally, give us your five.
In fifth, we're going to have our fifth best bet is going to be Tiupu in the Stayers Hurdle. Yeah, a bit boring, short enough price, but he should win. I don't think the newcomers to the division are any up to his level just yet. Anyway, they've still got a bit to be proving to be toppling him over. Fourth best bet will be Barbizon in the Fred Winter. It's a competitive race, but I think he should have a good chance. He's got some decent form in the book. And he looks a big price to hopefully get us off to a flying start on day one. And our third best bet is Mighty Park and Supreme, the first race. He could be absolutely anything. He might flop. We don't know. But if I'm right, he's going to win the race. So that's all we need. And second best bet is Waterford Whispers for Henry de Bromhead in the Kim Muir. This looks like it's been the plan for some time, and he really caught the eye last time. And the best bet is going to be Cocktail Divan in the Brown Advisory Chase on Wednesday. If he does end up going to the handicap, he probably will be the best bet for that as well, just if depending what declarations do. But it is Cocktail Divan. Wherever he goes, we'll win.
Thank you very much. Right, if you're watching along, thank you very much to our panellists. Robbie Wilders in the top right, Johnny Pearson, bottom left, and Ed Nicholson in the bottom right from our sponsors, Unibet. And that brings us to the end of a very special show for the postcards. But my word, we have got so much more Racing Post content for you throughout the Cheltenham Festival. Each morning, we'll have Good Morning Cheltenham with David Jennings, with a host of guests, including some former jockeys as well. We'll have In the Know every night as well, previewing the selections with the likes of Keith Melrose, Paul Keighley, and Graham Rodway. And of course, on the Racing Post website, the first place you need to go for all the news and updates from the track. So if you're looking for Cheltenham Festival coverage, look no further. And if you are wanting that content, make sure to rate, review, and subscribe, and keep in touch with us about your selections through the week. All I can say now is have a very, very good Cheltenham Festival. Best of luck with all your selections. Goodbye, and as always, gamble responsibly.